One, two, three, four.
Hi, this is Paloma.
And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And welcome back.
Yeah, and tonight is something new and exciting.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. So normally we do this up in your office at your house in Woodland. And well, you're still there, so it's still normal for you.
Yes.
But through the power of technology, I'm calling you via my iPad.
Yeah.
Or you're calling me. So I'm in my house.
Yay.
In Sacramento.
Everyone's comfortable.
Yeah. And we're not just doing this because we're lazy, although I will say I am pretty
lazy.
Not? We're doing this so that we can maybe try to record a little more often.
Yeah.
It's,
not that we don't like to see each other, but sometimes it's hard to get together and do our thing.
20-minute drive across the causeway is kind of brutal sometimes.
You know what? When you put it that way, I feel really stupid for doing this now.
What? You feel stupid for... No. No. This is good. It's Wednesday night, and I think we're both tired.
Yes.
So this podcast could go in any direction.
We're not making any promises tonight.
No. In fact, you know what? I just want to say now, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. Thank you for in advance for listening to
this. Yeah. So apologies in advance.
Yes. All right. Well, let's do this.
All right. What do you got?
Well, so I went to gymnastics this week.
Yay.
It was very entertaining. I show up and this little girl said, "You're Rosalie's mom." And she's like, in daycare with Rosalie. I'm like, how embarrassing.
So wait, the class, were there kids in the class or was it all adults?
They run a few classes at once
and they do
different parts of the gym. So there was like my class with us old people and then like a class of 4-year-olds.
So the geriatric people with your walkers.
Yes.
And then the little kids.
Exactly. So there's only two other people. It was this woman who's in her 50s and then a guy who was a 30. And he ended up getting a heat stroke and throwing up.
What? Yes. Was the class inside or outside?
Inside, and it's not air conditioned. They have gigantic fans and stuff, but I mean, so I get it. However,
the woman and I,
we did just fine.
He's not tough enough to hang with the ladies.
Because he made it barely halfway through.
All right.
Yeah.
So how did you like it?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I came home and Bobby said that I had a glow about me he's never seen before.
Aw.
It could have been sweat, but...
Sweaty glow is lovely. Yeah.
But yeah, it was amazing. It was hard. I had some muscle memory, you know, things I could do.
Yeah.
And then, my neck hurt the next day from falling on my head a couple times and stuff like that. I know. I was really worried. I'm like, oh, if I break my arm and I can't go to work, that's going to be the most embarrassing thing ever.
But then again, the upside is that not the upside of you breaking your arm, but the upside of gymnastics is that I fully expect you to go on to compete in the Olympics so that I can further my obsession with...
Is there a geriatric Olympics? Because I'm there.
Yeah, totally. we will make one for you.
And so I wore just regular workout clothes, but afterwards I came home, I'm like, I'm buying a bike tard like Rosalie's. I'm just kidding, I wasn't really...
But I think you should. I think half the battle is like, you know, what you wear. It's like, you know, you got to put on your uniform to show up.
Well, what's funny is I put shorts on first and a tank top, but then I realized that I might jiggle too much. So then I put yoga pants on that would conceal things a little more and keep things intact.
I'm trying to visualize this.
Just don't.
All right.
Tell your head to move on.
Okay, head.
Yeah, it's not worth the trouble. But the thing was, is this week I had so much anxiety that gymnastics, I didn't even want to go. I was so anxious about it. But I came home and I felt, it felt better than drinking a whole bottle of wine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, don't give up the wine or anything.
No, don't worry.
Says your alcoholic friend.
Yeah, I know. I'm not crazy.
but I like that because I mean, I have zero coordination, so I don't do gymnastics, but I do like to exercise, and I know it does help with anxiety. But then again, so you and I had a little text exchange about anxiety, and I think we both realized we were kind of... maybe having the same sort of week where we're experiencing anxiety. And it got me thinking because I was feeling I was feeling some anxiety earlier this week about life, just basically life in general.
Yes.
And this person, everything, yes. just breathing. I wake up and I just get anxious. Yes. Anxious. But I was on Facebook, and this person that I know on Facebook had a post about dealing with anxiety and like how she dealt with it. And my first instinct was, I want to send her a message and kind of talk to her a little bit about anxiety and like how I deal with it. And, you know, you're not alone, hang in there. And then I immediately just like spiraled into like this shame vortex of like, well, why I can't email her, because what if we're really not that good of friends and that's just going to be weird. And so I had all this anxiety about her anxiety and how I would respond to her anxiety. And it was just awful. And it just like left me like, why does my brain even exist sometimes?
I get it. And in that situation, I know exactly what you're saying. Cause I've done this with, people who are moms. Cause once you're a mom, all of a sudden you feel like anytime a mom's having a problem, you can just talk to them about it. Like people you never talk to. And somebody posted something that was kind of, to me, it seemed like kind of a small cry for help, not like a mm-hmm. serious thing, but I just wrote her a message and was like, look, you're going to feel this way, whatever, you're mm-hmm. you're never going to feel better, basically, about about your parenting skills. Well, no, I mean, like, parenting, all it is feeling bad about yourself all the time. Yeah. And so I wrote her that, and she wrote back, and I've done it a few times for a few other things, and I always feel better getting it out of my system, and at least I know somebody's thinking about them, and you know, and if they take it the wrong way, that's kind of their problem.
I guess. I mean, you're right. And it's probably like the nice, like just good human thing to do. But my brain doesn't always operate that way. And instead I get and I realize sometimes I think, well, maybe anxiety is just another way of being self-absorbed. But I feel like it's more than just a personality thing. I think that there's a real, I mean, it is a personality thing, but I think it's rooted in something deeper than not being able to get out of your own head.
Oh, absolutely. So, but I get like physically ill. Like,
Yeah, right. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like the actual physical feelings that you have when you're anxious, they're awful. And then it's just hard to separate reality from what your brain is telling you. And, you know, and so there I am looking at the Facebook screen, convinced that this person hates me. And like, you know, we're like 5 minutes ago, I was like, I'm going to send a nice message. And then I'm like, no, she absolutely loathes me. And she'll,
and you think about all the times you possibly could have offended that person. And
Right. So it's just brutal. Like I just wish I could slice up my brain sometimes and just make it behave in some way.
Yeah. So. And I like it that my anxiety starts really early in the morning, because I'll be in the shower like, I'm going to get ready for my day. And then it's like everything that's going to go wrong that day. I'm like, oh, God. And then I love it when you start to think about things that happened 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That's me. Anxiety at night when I try to go to sleep.
Yes.
But it's, you know, the quiet brain. Like you're laying there in the dark and all of a sudden it's like, hey, remember that time in 2006 when you said that one thing to that person? So, obviously, they still hate you for it.
I'm going to tell you a dark secret. Every once in a while, I'll go, oh, my God, or gasp or say, oh, geez. And Bobby will say, what's wrong? And I'll make something up, because what actually happened is I remembered something super embarrassing from so long ago, like even high school, even elementary school. And I'm not going to tell my husband, oh, I just remembered the stupid thing I did.
Totally having this like slight panic attack over something I did in the second grade. Yeah. So just carry on.
Yeah. So speaking of anxiety and not always feeling like you fit in or people like you, what about that Barb, huh?
Okay. I am so excited to talk about anxiety and Barb, because I feel like at least 7 or 8 of our listeners who are so inclined have actually caught up on season 1 of Stranger Things and then thus are familiar with what has happened with our friend Barb on the show. And first of all, there's supposed to be a season 2 of Stranger Things, so I just want to get that out of the way. But the thing that I keep thinking about with that character, and who is, you know what? I don't know if I would say that Barb is anxious, because I would say
More depression.
So Barb is the... Maybe. So Barb, for those of you who haven't seen the show, first of all, go watch it. But second of all, Barb is the best friend of sort of the one of the main characters. And the main character that she's the best friend to is, like, really pretty and you know, gets the guy and sleeps with the guy. And then there's Barb, who's a little dowdy, I guess, yeah, is one way you would put it. And I got to thinking because, okay, so spoiler alert, you know, Barb dies in the end. Or at least that's what we assume. That's what we assume happens to her.
She's dead enough.
Right. She's pretty dead. Yeah. And I started thinking about normally in like horror films or movies like that, it's usually the girl who has sex who gets killed. Because there's that. And in this case, it's, I mean, I assume Barb is a virgin. I don't know. Maybe
I'm going to say yeah.
Okay. So in this, it's like a total flip on that usual like trope that they have in movies like that. So it's the good girl who gets punished and the so-called bad girl who actually survives and saves the day. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting, but I still wish that we had had more than two or three episodes with Barb. So I hope that in season two, maybe there's some flashbacks or something.
Agreed. So Bobby and I were talking about it because I told him that you and I were going to be talking about Barb tonight because we've been waiting a long time to talk about Barb. Okay.
We have. So thank you everybody for catching up.
And he brought up the point that he was sad that nobody looked for Barb because it looked like she ran away. And he said Nancy should have been a little more upset about her dying. And he's totally right. And then I thought about it. I'm like, Nancy's kind of an entitled little bitch.
She is. Nancy's the worst. I mean, for most of the series, she's the worst. She is, but she really got on my nerves until about like probably the third or fourth one of the last episodes where she kind of steps up and changes her attitude about things, because I feel like she is super entitled up until a certain point. And you're right, she doesn't look for her.
No.
She makes one phone call to Barb's mom and then it's like, oh well, I tried.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's bad friendship right there. So, you know, Paloma, if I disappear into the upside down, will you try a little bit harder to find me?
It depends on if I was making it with some guy I really liked.
Okay, but you mean like Steve with the bad hair?
If I was with Steve with bad hair and not a very cute face, and you disappeared, I'd be like, well, she'll find her way back, I guess.
Oh, wow. Huh. Finding out a lot about our friendship right now.
You know that if you were my Barb, I would go find you.
Aw, that's so sweet. That's like the sweetest thing you've ever said to me.
Oh, I should say nicer things to you.
I want you to, you should actually. I want you to like embroider that on a pillow for me.
Oh, your birthday's coming up.
Yeah.
So tell me, don't tell me too much because my husband's going to listen and he hates spoilers. But so there is for sure a confirmed season two then?
Yeah. And okay. I don't know anything about it.
Like same characters, or is it going to be kind of like, what's that? Oh my God. True Detective. I forgot what it was.
Oh God. I hope not. Please. I hope it's not going to be like True Detective.
Darn it. I didn't plan on talking about that, but I didn't hate True Detective, the second one.
Oh, you didn't hate season two?
I didn't hate it. I saw it for what it was. It was something different.
Okay, well, that's going to be a whole other conversation. I know,
not as good as season one, like, duh, but
yeah.
It wasn't awful. If you wanted another season one, you should have just rewatched it.
fair enough. So, from what I understand, season two, I think Winona Ryder will be in it, but I'm not positive. And I just read an interview with the actress who plays Barb, and she was kind of speculating on how Barb might figure into season two, like through flashbacks or something like that. So one can hope. That's all I know about it. I do know that the band who did the theme song, the score for Stranger Things, is going on tour.
They're going to make a ton of money.
Yeah, I have no idea what that's like. Is it just a bunch of guys on their laptops? I don't know, but that could get interesting.
Yeah,
so.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that we finally got to address Barb because that's been kind of bugging me for a while.
Yes. So sorry to people who have not watched it yet, but you should.
Yeah, hopefully that 10-second spoiler alert that I give you enough time to, like, pause and, like, fast forward or something.
Actually, I'm fairly certain the way we talked about it, nobody's really going to understand what happened anyway.
Or care.
Yeah, exactly.
Or care. Speaking of not caring.
Oh, yes. Oh, please.
Yeah. I want to talk about Hillary Clinton's damn emails for just, like, a hot minute, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'm really supposed to care about the new emails that were released. Everybody keeps telling me that I'm supposed to. What's your thought
on it?
So
here's where I'm at. I don't think it's good. I mean, well, it's okay, but let me start, because you're going to say, oh, what are you saying? But no, I don't think it's good.
Ooh, what are you saying?
Here's the problem. For me, the way I see it is we're in a situation where we could have a leader who starts World War III, or we could have a leader who maybe hasn't always been honest or done the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take the one who's not going to, like, wipe out the planet. Sorry.
Well, and that's a good choice, I think.
I mean, I think you and I have talked about this before. This doesn't make it right, but lots of politicians lie, or that's kind of what we've just always accepted, and that's not that surprising or shocking. I don't know. What is it that I'm...
I see it as... was doing what politicians do, and in some respects it's no different than what Trump has done by donating before he was a candidate. You know, obviously he wasn't Secretary of State, but before he was a candidate, he donated lots of money to different politicians, regardless of their political party. I mean, it was all about sort of exchanging favors. Like, I'll give you all this money and then I'll be able to call you up and I'll be able to have your ear and, like, have you listen to what I want. And I guess I'm just, I don't love it, but I also understand that politics are nuanced and complicated, and that, you know, people have favors and that sort of thing. And unless there's, like, really evidence of it creating a real conflict of interest for her doing her job, I feel like people are making an issue out of, I'm not going to say they're making an issue out of nothing, but I think that the people are making a bigger issue out of it than it needs to be. But I am worried, because it's exactly the kind of thing that people want to dig their teeth into and sort of, you know, how can this ruin the campaign for Hillary Clinton? And it's like, so yeah, it's like what you said. It's like, you've got this candidate who maybe hasn't always been straightforward about her intentions or 100% ethical. And then you've got, you know, the guy who...
A Muppet. A crazy
Muppet. I mean, the guy that you and I mean, this, I don't want to be flippant about it, but when you and I were texting tonight, you're like, I don't even know if I can talk about Trump, you know, anymore. And I think we both are experiencing this almost, like, fatigue when it comes to just recounting all the crazy things that he's done and says, and it's exhausting and it's tiring and it's also way stressful.
It causes anxiety. Yeah.
I was going to say, no wonder I'm so anxious. This guy, you know, we're complaining about Hillary Clinton's emails. And meanwhile, this guy is, like, talking about how he's the best person for the black voter. And I'm just like, does nobody hear what's happening here?
Okay. So I actually have several things to say about that. Cause first off, the black vote is insulting to anyone who's black.
It's incredibly insulting.
All black people aren't the same. They're not going to have the same opinion. However, this is one time where I hope black people do have the same opinion. I hope I hope every black person...
As a white person, yes. I really hope so. And I just mean that in the best possible, let's not nuke the world way.
Exactly. Yeah. I hope. So, yes. But yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Trump pandering for the black vote is insulting. It's kind of nauseating, really.
It's really nauseating. It just makes me... I mean, it's like, what, is he going to go after the Muslim vote next? Really?
That's funny.
I mean, seriously, it's like, what... He's got to get those poll numbers up. Although, if you hear him, to hear him talk, he says the polls don't represent...
Oh, of course.
You know, the actual voters out there. It's like, okay.
So, I just had a funny thought, because I was thinking, you know, Trump never says anything right or that I agree with. So I imagine his idea of, like, pandering to the black vote is, like, he comes out and he sags his pants. He's like, I'm MC Trump. Because he's just so out of touch. He's like, do you know what I mean?
He's all, yo, yo, yo.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, this will get him. You know, I just...
See, I... Yeah, I'm not even going to touch that. I have a lot of ideas about how I could imagine him pandering to the black vote, and they're all awful. Like, I just think, and they're all things that I think, yeah, I could actually see him doing because think about what he did on Cinco de Mayo when he had the picture taken of himself with the taco bowl. I mean, that's the kind of person that it's like, oh God, how is he going to do this with, you know, the black vote, the quote unquote.
Well, let me tell you how he's going to do it. He's going to insult a lot of people and stereotype and
check. I think he's well on his way to that. So it's just, yeah, I'm,
what is the word that, because I was trying to think of the word, what is that called when people refer to a voting base like the black vote, assuming that they all have the same intentions? What is that called? I need to find out.
A voting block?
Just the black vote. Like, what is it called when people think that a whole group of people is going to vote the same way based on their race?
I don't know.
Is listening to this, if you know that information.
Right. Can you, leave us a comment or something?
Because I hate that phenomenon, whatever it is. I hate that.
Yeah. Well, I hate it. I also hate just sort of, women voters.
White suburban housewife.
Yeah, I'm voting with my vagina or my boobs.
Life is a little more complex than that, you know?
Right. It's like, I almost feel like it's silly to even have to point that out, but then
it's not though,
Trump.
because
you have Trump it's, what about the cat vote?
Yeah. What about the cat vote? No, actually it's more like, what about the cat lady vote? I don't
The bats
that affects you personally,
right? Yeah, we all do think alike, actually.
You went to the convention.
I did.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
So what's funny is I heard your cat back there, and I was like, oh, is that Rosalie or is that a cat? But it was your cat.
It was my child.
Which,
okay.
I was very relieved because I didn't want to. Rosalie should be asleep right now. Yes. She's been sick. Yeah. And so she's done so many funny things this week. But
even being sick.
Yeah. Well, so actually, okay. So part of my anxiety was our last episode. I mentioned our funny naked punishment, and I was like, people are gonna think I'm a terrible person, not getting how funny it is. And it's not like we're actually terrorizing her. It was just it was like a funny piece of parenting history. But I learned a new bad parenting trick this week.
Awesome.
And I'm just gonna share it. So she does this thing where if she doesn't get what she wants, she'll do this whine and say these and she'll just whine so much you can't even understand what she's saying.
I don't understand what you said just
and so what I've started doing is when she does that, she'll tonight she couldn't have a Trader Joe's cat cookie. And life was over, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I understand.
So she throws her head down on the counter. And so me being the great parent I am, I mocked her. I went. And what I love about my child is she looked up and started laughing. She saw how silly it was. It was this funny little moment.
Your child does have a really good sense of humor. She does. I will say that. And not all children, I mean, children have good senses of humor, but not all children necessarily get that division between toddler humor and adult humor. And she's sometimes very adult in the way that she interacts with people. It's a little startling sometimes. Yeah. You're just like a little tiny adult in there sometimes.
So tonight, Bobby and I know that she's ours. So tonight she kept on putting this Bert costume on. I told her not to because it's too small for her. It's supposed to be going to Goodwill. I told her, take it off. Well, first I said, don't put it on. Then after I said that 100 times, I had to say, don't take it off or take it off 100 times. And so the last time I said, Rosalie, I have told you several times to take that off. You need to take that off. She had a mark on her leg because the elastic was so tight. It was making a red mark. I said, see, you have that red mark because you won't take that off. And I told you to. She said, yeah, you did tell me to take that off, didn't you? Okay, that's my child.
She's all so.
Yeah.
So your point was?
I have one more funny Rosalie story.
Okay.
And this one's a good one. Because I used to have these perky boobies, right? And they were smaller, but they were really perky. And then I breastfed, and they got less perky, but bigger, but less perky. Yeah. And so I was getting ready the other day and I did not have a shirt on, and I bent over to get something, and Rosalie said, "Mommy, your boobies look like bunny ears."
Oh, Rosalie.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where it was so funny.
Okay. Did she say boobies?
She said boobies. Well, every once in a while she throws in a boo-boo.
Okay, that's actually impressive. That how old is she? 3? I don't know if I knew the word boobies when I was 3.
She knows boobies.
But so she really is your child.
Well, actually, she's even asked me when she's going to get boobies.
Oh my God.
I was very shocked by that, because obviously somebody told her, like, she calls my boobies big, which I say, thank you, Rosalie, appreciate that. Mommy's got good big child. Boobies. And so I don't know if maybe she asked a daycare provider, like, why don't I have big boobies? And maybe they told her or something.
That's so interesting. I don't remember when boobies came onto my radar as a child, but this actually leads into one last thing that I wanted to talk about tonight. So one of our readers, listeners.
You're in your other job right now.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Oh, we're having a little technical difficulty. I knew it would happen. Are you there?
Hello?
Oh, yes. There you are. Hi, friend.
There I am. I can't see you, but I can hear you.
Oh, it's probably better that way.
You're really spotty, though. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
I think so.
Okay. All right. So one of our listeners, one of our 10 listeners, is my friend Michelle, and she lives in Southern California. And our last episode, we were talking about Trump and how he dropped the word titties instead of cities,
which I still need to find and watch.
Which is you still think it was okay to say titties?
No. I want to watch it, is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah. I can watch that all day. So Michelle was so, I don't know, like, she thought it was so funny that I would say the word titties and like, apparently like felt compelled to send me a message because she was cracking up and said, "It's just not a word that I would imagine you saying." And so then I started thinking about it and I was like, "You're right. That is not a word that I would normally say. I would usually say boobs or boobies." And then I'm like, is it any better? I don't really know if boobs is a better word.
You know what? I think titties might be more sexual.
I think you're right. I mean, I think it's because titties is a word that I think of big guys who look like Trump saying it when they're talking about women's attributes, and they always make the gesture with their hands, mm-hmm. like he kind of did in that clip.
Oh,
you know,
God. Although he,
you know, so it's just like, titties, and it's just not I don't know, it's just not a word that I am fond of saying. So, but I never thought about it until Michelle sent me that message.
Okay, well, I have heard you say titties now many times.
And this is probably going to be the last time for a long time.
You know what's funny is I think that titties is sexual, but for some reason tits is not.
No, I'm okay with mostly I'm okay with tits.
Knockers is kind of funny.
Jugs. Knockers is hilarious. Jugs is good in certain situations, I think. You know what? Just no on breasts, though. Like, unless you're saying breastfeeding, I don't want to hear breast. It feels way too technical.
Yeah, I don't like breast either.
Yeah, I get breastfeeding is okay, but breast in general.
Yeah, I like boobies. It's funny, though, because I really like boobies, but when Rosalie throws in a boo-boos, it's always kind of funny because I don't know where that came from. I've never said boo-boos.
Well, and it's making me laugh because I call my cats my boo-boos. Aww. So now it's like I'm calling my cats my boobies. I don't know. I'm so confused.
Well, you have 3, so you have 3 boo-boos.
I have 3 boo-boos. Okay, so now I really do sound like a crazy cat lady. All right, everybody. That's my secret for tonight.
Oh, I like it. Are there any other boob names, though?
Huh.
There's got to be more. I feel like we're short.
We're falling down on the... We're falling... Rack?
Oh, good one. Okay.
Yeah.
I know I
tatas.
Said...
Tatas?
Tatas.
Not headlights. Is headlights...
Well, headlights is the nipple part.
Okay, but it's... Okay, I didn't know we were getting so specific about that, but okay.
So have you ever heard the term smuggling raisins? If a girl has, like, a nipple hard on? You say,
No, but...
That girl... Huh. Smuggling raisins. But I have a friend, one time they saw a girl with a nipple hard on and they had a few drinks and they said, "Oh, look at that girl smuggling raisins." Or no, smuggling nipples. Oh, no, she's not smuggling nipples. Those are, well, yes, she was. Point is, good for boobs.
Yeah. Yay, boobs.
Yeah. How'd you like our long distance?
It was interesting. I'm a little sad that I'm not in the same room with you, but then again, it's a Wednesday night and we both had long days. So I'm glad we got to take time to chat.
Yeah. Part of it's nice because I didn't have to clean my house.
You never have to clean your house for me.
And I'm wearing athletic shorts. You can't see that.
I got cutoffs on, so.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Maybe next time we need to do from the waist down. Huh. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. I'm getting into some other territory.
On that note.
All right. Well, thanks.
That might be a good place to end this tonight. All right.
Well, thanks for joining us, people. Yeah. 10 people.
Thanks for listening remotely to us, all 10 or maybe 11 of you.
I think we might have 11 now.
I'm still really curious about listener number 11. So anyway, on that note, thanks for listening. And Good Girls Don't was produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock. It was engineered by Bobby Jordan and Paloma Jordan. Technical consideration provided by FaceTime. Thank you, FaceTime.
Yes, FaceTime.
Fortification provided, at least on my end, by a lovely cold white wine. I don't know what you were drinking tonight. Same thing? Okay. And inspiration and motivated provided by a lifetime of anxiety.
Yay. Oh, wait. One more thing. Babysitting provided by nature.
Nature.
She's asleep.
Crashed out.
It's awesome.
All right. Bye. Good night. Bye.